истории.
И много работи. И много подговорица. Тут переколи.
Why would he, was this before his...
Because he was a pupil of Oakeshott's in Cambridge. Yeah. Then was a Delisee. Yeah. And went to the lecture. Oh. Had to throw a disastrous version of the result of all the stuff. He told me that. Yes, I know that. Not much good, one of your weak comments.
No. And then the following year we have the two types of liberty. Is that 58?
That was two concepts of liberty. That was the inaugural lecture.
Yes.
That's present. Yes. That produced storm of youth.
From whom again? Define the audience.
Same audience. Same people. Didn't anybody. Later, people said things became very famous.
Yes, it's the most famous thing you ever wrote, in some ways, except for Hedgehog on the Farm.
I know, it's quite famous. And it's in America, and Rawls told me that it's in constant use, and people discuss it and talk about it, but it had no friends.
No, I'm sure you're exaggerating.
No, I think not. No, I can't think of anybody who came to his defense.
Yes, I have some. I think I may be working on some very simplistic kind of intellectual history, according to which, in the kind of reaction of loathing towards Stalin, the onset of the Cold War, the kind of rebirth of liberalism, perhaps Stevensonian type liberalism in the 50s, which has a heyday kind of 54 to through the Kennedy era,
yes.
54 to 63 is to me the kind of heyday of a certain kind of American post-war liberalism, for which therefore, which then provides for you an audience for two concepts of liberty, the historical inevitability
paper. Yes, could
paper,
be, but nobody wrote about it.
Nobody. No.
I mean, and that it's... may have had sympathetic treatment, yeah. But as far as I know, nobody ever said anything in print.
Yeah. And that it's in the...
Arthur Schlesinger period.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That it's in the late 60s and early 70s as the kind of Marxist ascendancy reemerges, particularly in the British campus, that
yes.
That your kind of liberalism runs into much more heavy weather, much
it
more.
Is, it is. But that even during the period you speak of, I mean, someone like George Kennan wouldn't have anything against it. But he wouldn't have been meant to review it. Who were the reviewers? Political science, political philosophers, well,
yeah.
Mainly professional philosophers. I remember a very hostile review by, I think, Lovejoy, old people, in some Chicago paper. I think I can't remember. I think the younger philosophers probably were tending to the left, and their own sort of, all my friends on the sort of Mary McCarthy world, a lot of Brexit. Yes. It's a very conservative tendency. There's no doubt that the sermon of it was that I had to potter along, so to speak, with ad hoc solutions based, roughly speaking, and that fanaticism. Historical days of reliance on impersonal forces gets you trouble. Yes. And being a spokesman of visiting realities. I can't believe anybody in it. Could have been in favor of it. Stuart Hampshire. Very hostile. He came to it. Some people thought just a lot of old fashioned stuff. And other people thought.
Old fashioned in what sense?
Well, liberty in some other 19th century sense. Just a lot of Stuart Mill games.
Is it, and that in what sense is that inaugural lecture a direct derivation from the original radio lectures, or is it a very substantial?
Entirely independent. I composed it in Italy, and there's an inaugural lecture. And I had it typed out and read it. It's all different. Now it's another, I didn't write it. Yes, I did an introduction to the collection of essays which I tried to answer.
criticism, yes.
But I couldn't acknowledge any debt to anyone, I'm afraid. Couldn't say to anyone, agreed with it all. Mm-hmm. Here's all that I approved with him, and he said. Yeah. Yeah. That's true of every book I've written, so far, I think. Mm-hmm. Not the Hedgehog the Fox. It wasn't as easy. Mm-hmm. There's no polemical content.
Yes, people. I'm always meeting people who describe themselves either as one or the other and use it as a psychological typology.
Which? Two concepts?
Yes. No, the Hedgehogs and the Fox.
Well, that is.
Yes.
Think of it as a joke, you know. I never meant to say it.
Yes.
It's just the thing which came. So the man called Lord Oxford is alive and a pious Catholic living in the country. Who I knew in Oxford and Thetis. He suddenly quoted a line by Archilochus, he said that. And then we played games, played 30s, about hedgehogs and foxes. And that's what, how it came to my head.
Yeah.
Purely as a jeu d'esprit.
Yeah. It's a terribly good jeu d'esprit.
I know.
It's had a certain kind of life to it.
It did, yes. Yeah. Certainly. And I suddenly thought Tolstoy's case, now a very good case of both.
Yes.
I don't call him Tolstoy to you. Tolstoy.
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 So where have we got to? We've got you inaugurated as a professor in 1958 and 59. We've had you fighting with Carr and...
I'm inaugurated in 57. Yeah. When I become 57, I deliver a lecture.
In 58.
58.
Yes. We've had you quarreling with Deutscher and Carr at various times.
I didn't quarrel with Deutscher. He refused me in nasty fashion, but I never answered. I had no altercation with him.
But you did have a direct altercation with him.
Yes, and a great conflict, which can be seen in the pages of... There's also a letter by Gombrich defending Papa against Carr, and a letter by Veronica Wedgwood defending herself, various other victims of those lectures. Then we start, and I am professor at All Souls, as All Souls before, I continue, I deliver lectures at the State of the House, and I go to New York about once in 2 years, and teach at City University, Graduate Center, to enjoy very much.
Why?
The graduates are quite bright. It wasn't one of the high-up New York institutions. It wasn't Columbia, it wasn't Harvard, Yale. Still, they were quite eager. And they were sort of wives of taxi drivers, aged 50, who loved doing it. And I had quite an appetite. I had Arthur Schlesinger 2 rooms away from me. And I was very well paid. And I lived in New York.
What impression did Schlesinger make on you?
I met him in Washington in 1943. I liked him very much. I know exactly what he is. It's true that he's sort of superficial. It's true that he's ambitious, politically, in love with the Kennedys, violently anti-communist. I mean, during the McCarthy period. Never from McCarthy anyway. But this big, very much Marxophage, anti-communist, or fanatical degree. Fundamentally, he's an extremely nice man. The point is, he has a kind heart, and perfectly decent, upright, and honest. What he is dazzled.
Yes, by power.
By power, no.
And haunted by a father not, as well.
Well, dazzled by, not by power, by brilliance, by charm, by a court, by beautiful women. By delightful, wonderful dinner parties. By marvelous sort of White House goings on. Not by power. Not at all like power.
He doesn't want to exercise power.
No.
He just likes the penumbra of it, in a sense.
Well, he's simple, you know. He's simple, rather naive. Easily, I lived to remember, he's married to a wife, much stronger character. He's his first wife. She was a very good girl. Daughter of a famous physiologist at Harvard called Cameron. And he said, you know, to me, Never novelized. Then I come home, the ice cubes have melted. There's nothing in the fridge much. She's out. When she comes, she's tired. God knows what I get to eat. What he dreamt about was...
Comfort.
No, home. Luxury.
A luxury, yeah.
Exquisite meals. Yeah. Served by a very beautiful wife. Delightful, witty friends.
Yeah.
Making agreeable contribution. Cigars, glass of wine. Yeah. A very simple idea.
And these for your
of gracious living.
Yes, and these for your venial
gracious
sins.
Living is all about. Yes. And the Kennedys supplied a kind of golden word.
Yeah.
Great friend of Bobby's, who was quite nice.
Yeah.
What nice is this?
Jack.
Jack, yeah. Wow. I knew Bobby. I knew both of them since. Mm. Well, we used to go to New York and the 50s, early 60s. That's when I met Bob Silvers.
Mm-hmm. When he was at Knopf.
Hmm?
When he was at Knopf, when he was in...
Just when he started.
Yes.
New Review, where the...
63.
Newspaper strike.
Yes.
63. Maybe. Times didn't appear.
Yes.
Well, the Times strike in New York.
Yes. And it's found
and that's when the New York Review books began to appear.
Yes.
1963,
yeah.
54, I think. 54. I very well remember. Extraordinary scene in the Carlisle Hotel, which we lived because my mother-in-law had a suite there. She was a rich woman.
Mm-hmm.
She lived there. So she paid for it, and Ali and I lived there too. At that time, we moved up there. Or maybe we just never went to New York. We were visiting, I think. Suddenly the Kennedy arrived, and so all the lifts stopped, and we couldn't get up and down. Stuart Hampshire was with us on some secret mission. Suddenly Kennedy came down, followed by the door, saw me, crossed the room, shook hands, and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just a fan of yours. I was waiting to see you. How do you see?" I told him, "I've been waiting for hours." But that was all right.
He liked
he
that.
Laughed.
This is Jack.
Jack,
yeah.
He's present.
Yeah.
He laughed. And I so everyone else was frightfully excited. You should know me. He was saying, touched by history. Stuart, however, was slightly annoyed by not introducing him, because he greatly admired him.
Yes.
Didn't occur to me, I just rather nervously talked to him.
Yes. Yeah. How did he recognize you physically?
Because there was a thing in Washington called... Go back to the beginning. I had a great friend called Trip Bowlin. He was appointed ambassador to Paris. There was a dinner for him in Washington before he went. I was invited to dinner. By who's getting to have a little bit
Harriman.
What?
Harriman.
No, it wasn't. No. It could have been. No. The dinner given by Philip Gray, who telephoned me, my good friend, who telephoned me, would I come to dinner because Trebone would be there and Kennedy would be there. And his wife and other people I knew.
This is
Joel Fopin.
This is when he's president.
This is when he's president. And this is 60. When was the first Cuba?
61, very early
61.
On. 61.
I'm at Harvard. Was it early 61?
Yes, it's early.
Well, late 61. Autumn 61. Cuba number 2, early 62.
Mm.
I think September, October 63. 2.
Is the second Cuba?
It's 63.
No, the second Cuba is October 62. The first Cuba is April 61, I think. Well, it's very early
April,
on.
Not April. Yeah, because the
Bay of Pigs?
The Elthing was there within 4 months. What I mean is, first of all, there was a crisis.
Yes.
Then it was resolved.
Yes.
The Elthing took what? 2 months, 3 months?
Yes.
So it wasn't at the distance.
The distance between the first Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis is more than a year, I think.
Oh, yes, no.
That's what
I'm not talking about the missile crisis. I'm talking about the second. Bay of Pigs, not Bay of Pigs.
You mean the Cuban Missile Crisis? That is 62. October.
Yes.
And it's 10 days long.
October, exactly.
Yes.
October 62.
Yes.
I'm invited to dinner on during October 62 to meet Kennedy before.
Just before the crisis starts.
They didn't finish me. Phil Graham?
No, still got plenty.
By Phil Graham, who arranged the vice presidency of Johnson at the convention. Great friend of Kennedy's. I found that the same night as that which Quine was like the dinner in Harvard, so very virtually, I rang up Phil Graham's secretary and said, I'm very sorry I couldn't come. She said, but if president is going to be there, you know, I'll put off anything to see the president. I said, no, I'm very sorry, I'm afraid I can't. Because he died as soon as he was written to Quine, getting a party for me, 10 people or something. Better invitation. In the end, Kennedy couldn't come. Party was over. But it happened again 10 days later.
After the crisis?
No.
No, still before.
On the night when I went was the crisis. Nobody knew at that dinner. But that morning, Kennedy had seen the photographs.
Oh my God.
The dinner was given by the Grahams. Present were Kennedy, Jackie, Phil Graham and his wife, Joe Alsop, some pretty woman, whom Kennedy, of course, took an interest in.
Whose identity you can't remember?
Oh, yes, I can. And as I saw about 2 months ago, again, she was the wife of a journalist, and she was notorious to you. She's been about, what's his name, still married to him, I think. Many years later.
Let's not get hung up.
He was the man who worked on the Washington Post.